you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 40, and I think I'll share verses 28 through 31 as we talk about this topic today with Pastor Jason Schiffo, facilitating a discussion on how are we having God help us enter into this new year, into 2023. But here's Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, January 6, 2023. Pastor Jason, I picked that out as I was looking at verses about vision casting, a new year. What does the Bible have to say about new beginnings? And this is one that came across my mind, and I thought, I really like this, and it kind of sets some of the trajectory of what you hope God does, is that he's going to give you strength, that he's going to provide, that he's going to renew us, that we can soar on wings like eagles because of who he is, his character. He's the creator of the earth, and if we can keep him as our focus, things can go well. So I don't know if that'll fit in with some of your remarks on today's topic, but it's a great verse, a reminder for us all. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. So It's his permissive will that we get to live in, and he's sovereign and in control, so nothing can happen outside of his permissive will, so we can be content or comforted in that fact, and that he's a good God.
Yeah, you know, A.W. Tozer said once that the most important thing about a person is what they think when they think about God. You know, what do we think when we think about God? And what do we think when we think about other things? Do we include God in those things? You know, it's interesting because we get into this new year and we step into this new year. And what's the first thing that most people do when they start the new year?
Resolutions, or
people make resolutions. So the first thing that people do when they start the new year is they begin with the bad news. What's not right? What's not good? Generally, it's about themselves, right? You know, I could lose a little weight. Maybe I'll get this fixed up. Maybe I'll start doing this and stop doing this. We begin with the bad news. And most of the time, we come up with a laundry list of things that we'd like to change in a new year. I mean, what would you guys like to change in a new year?
Oh, boy. To change. I guess I'd just like to be a little bit younger and a little bit stronger.
All right. You know? Yeah. Tell me how that's working for you.
Yeah. Well, I feel just as good as I did last year.
Yeah.
But I do notice that there is a difference between now and 20 years ago.
Sure.
Right. I'd like to have more energy and be able to hear better.
Yeah. See, it's all physical, our own personal things that we're thinking about.
I'm sure many, Jason, are thinking about, you know, they want to be better parents or more effective in their calling or more disciplined in their daily devotional readings or prayer time. Obviously, you've mentioned it, losing some weight, getting an exercise program put in place.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is I always say, and I had this conversation with somebody this morning earlier, as I said that we were trying to answer a question, and I said, well, let's see what the Bible says. You know, and so oftentimes it's interesting when you guys remarked as to what you would like, more energy or to be 20 years younger. And the Bible says, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're growing, we're being matured, we're being strengthened day by day. And strengthened in what? in the knowledge of who God is.
Also in dependence on him, which is a good thing.
Yeah, which I think is a great thing. And it leads me to the verse that I've been thinking about a lot when it comes to the new year. And that is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And this is Paul reflecting on his own life, but this is also Paul writing to the Philippians to tell them, this is what you need to understand. This is something you need to wrap your head around. And Paul has already kind of laid the foundation for chapter 4 and verse 19 by saying, I know what it means to be high. I know what it means to be low. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then Paul says, and my God, by the way, I love this, my God, because he's letting them know he has a personal relationship with God. This is my God. I don't just know him from a distance. I know him personally. And my God will supply every need of yours. So he takes his personal relationship and he goes public, right? Mm-hmm. He says, my God will supply every one of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think he's asking the Philippians, will you believe this? Mm-hmm. Will you believe that God can supply every one of your needs? Now, here's the interesting thing, is that a lot of the things that we think are needs, especially in the new year, are not really what we need. Right. They're, you know what I tell my kids all the time? My kids will say, I need this. And I said, no, you don't. You want that. There's a difference between a want and a need.
Absolutely.
A need is crucial and critical to your survival or your dependence. A want is something that just might fill a gap in your life or make you happy or whatever it might do. So you want to feel 20 years younger. You want to have more energy. I want to be even a little more fitter or feel a little better, sleep better. That's a good one too. But do I need those things? Well, to a certain degree, maybe we need those things. But what we really need is what the Lord will supply to us. It's funny, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, I just look in the mirror and I'm just not quite happy with what I see. And I said, really? Because the Bible says that you're wonderfully and beautifully made. Mm-hmm. And see, you think that you need to be more beautiful. No, you want to be more beautiful. But what you actually need is what the Lord says, which is what the Lord supplies, like Paul is saying in Philippians 4:19. He supplies you with a word that lets you know that he created you and he doesn't make junk and that you are wonderfully and beautifully made. And what you see as imperfections are actually the things that make you wonderfully distinct and unique. We're not made to be like homogenized so we all look the same. You know, that would just be boring. You know, and so Paul says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And this made me think of another verse, Ephesians chapter 3. And by the way, it's really important to understand that Paul wrote Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians all at the same time. He wrote them all in the same year. So there's the same train of thought running through all of these letters. In fact, if you were to lay all the letters out together, there's a lot of what I would call connective tissue between all those letters. And you'll see it right here in verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit. So you say, how will God supply every one of my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus? Through the Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Why? Because the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead us back to Christ. Even Jesus said that. He said, the Spirit will remind you of all the things that I have taught you in the time that I spent with you. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and width, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And so when Paul says to the Philippians that God will supply your every need, what he's saying is that God will supply everything you need so that you can know him better and know him more, mm-hmm. that you can love him more. Sometimes I think we open up the Bible and we want to know more things about God. But do we really want to know God? Mm-hmm. And do we open the Bible because we want to know and love him more? One of the prayers that I've adopted before I read my Bible is I said, Lord, whatever you show me in this, help it to love you more. Because when I love you more, then I feel more loved, because that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love others as yourself. It's this kind of big movement that God does. When you love him more, you understand more who you are and more who you are amongst others. This is interesting to me because I know a lot of people who made resolutions for the new years that didn't include God supplying their every need. They started with themselves and not with God. In fact, it's interesting because Paul says in earlier in Philippians, this is crazy to me, and this is something that really bothered me when I was reading the book of Philippians. Paul says, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, and that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." I wonder if that was included in anybody's resolutions, any Christian's resolutions. As a Christian made a resolution as they were heading into 2023, did they say, "What I want more than anything is that Christ will be honored in my body, whether in life or in death"? That is my eager expectation. That is what I want to do with all the fullness of who I am. And then apply that to whatever it is, whether it's getting fit, whether it's eating more healthy, whether it's going to the gym. Whatever that is that you want to do better in 2023 than you did in 2022, is it your eager expectation that in that thing, Christ will be honored in your body? I just know a lot of people who I don't think that was included.
Well, Jason, I wrote down, and I want you to bring us back to that passage, because what was the part about wasting away but inwardly? Where is that?
I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, okay, or 2 Corinthians.
Which I think is so interesting, because so many of us want to work on the outward body, but the reality is it is wasting away. And he points that out, but he said, but rather work on those inward qualities. And that's what you're saying, our devotion to Christ, allowing God to work through us. And I thought, wow, the reality is we are wasting away. So stop working so hard on that when the better thing to work on is your relationship with God.
Well, and how about this? And I know this from sitting with the Zools here many times, is that people who are older than me, who would fit into that category, you know, because I think that all in varying degrees, we're all wasting away. So depending on what age you're at and where you're at in the game or in the race. But those people who are older than me, they've seen more things. They've experienced more things. They have wisdom. They have a perspective that comes from spending more time seeing the way things work. And so that inward thing that's been happening is really valuable to the rest of us. It's really valuable. And so, you know, sometimes I think that we'll look at people who are older and we'll go, oh, look at how old they are. Yeah, sure, the outward body is wasting away. But inwardly, there is something incredibly valuable about your relationship and following God and all the years that you follow God and all the ups and the downs and all of the, you know, the times where I bet you that you had to follow God through some seasons that were really difficult.
We've had a few of those, but I always say that everything that we do should be done for God.
Yeah.
And when we look at things like that, why, then God is with us wherever we're at.
Yeah.
And you go the extra mile, so to speak, to complete the job that you're assigned to. Because
right,
everything we do is, the Lord gives us a work to do every day.
So what you're saying is that we give God the glory.
That's exactly right.
And so that's really interesting, because Paul says in Philippians 4:19 that God will supply according to his glory. So when Paul says that, what Paul is saying is, Paul's saying that out of the depth, the very essence of who God is, he's going to supply for you, because glorious is his character. Glorious is his love. Glorious is his mercy. Every character of the person of God is glorious. It's nothing short of glorious, because we can't define it. It's so above and out of our understanding of what those things mean. God's love, I can't define, because it's different than any love I've ever known. Any love that I can give myself, apart from when he works through me. And so when Paul says that God's going to supply out of his glory, he's saying that God is going to supply you out of the depth of who he is, out of the totality of who he is. Now, what's fascinating is later on in that verse in Philippians that I quoted, in verse 21, it says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." So Paul says, listen, when you realize that when God is supplying you throughout these different seasons of life out of the very essence and totality of who he is, you want to give him glory, which means that you give him praise on par with the way that you see him working. You know, and sometimes I don't think that we do that. Sometimes I think that we don't come back to God and praise him on par with the glory. And he says, throughout the generations, forever and ever, amen. Which means that what you went through when you gave God glory, you need to tell me about, and I need to tell my kids about. Like, I should go home and be like, let me tell you what Elmer just said. Because that's how that glory and that praise is lifted up over generations and in your family and in our family. And that's why it's so important to be in a community and to celebrate in a community and to give glory to God in a community out of the totality of who he is and the way that he supplied us for us. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really important. I mean, we all the things that we're going to go into the new year and want to change, they are of lesser importance. Mm-hmm. They really are. I mean, listen, I want to, you know, I think that we should be healthy because I think that way we can serve the Lord better. Mm-hmm. I think that we should be careful to change patterns of our lives so that we're not prone to sin or prone to wander or prone to do those kinds of things. But I think some of the things that we think we need, they're just wants. And what we really need as we go into the new year is the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what we need more than anything. You know, I mean, I want to know, I want to run into the people who say, my resolution for the new year, I resolve to be near to the Lord no matter what. Not a political party, not a platform, not a this, not a that. I want to be near to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, because mm-hmm. he's the one who will supply every one of my needs. And I think that some of that supplying your needs might actually be corrective lenses for us. You know, where we think we need this, and then he goes, no, what you really need is this. Mm-hmm. You know, what you really need is to get your eyes back on Jesus. What you really need is to forgive that person. What you really need is to do is offer mercy. Here's one he speaks to me a lot. What you really need to do is shut up. Mm-hmm. You need to be quiet and listen more. And so I think that the Lord will give us exactly what we need. But we're going to have to realize that what we want isn't what we need. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's important for us in the new year. And I think that what we each one of us carry is so important to hand down to the next generation.
Absolutely.
So that praise continues throughout the generations forever and ever. Amen. By the way, I love that it says forever and ever. Amen. Because the picture of the ultimate praise that God gets on par with who he is in the book of Revelation, right? Revelation 4 and 5, where they're all gathered around the throne yelling, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, I mean, when people say to me, they say, they'll say to me, you know, about somebody who's passed away or who's departed. And I'll say just very gently, I know that you miss them. I know it's hard, but I don't think they want to come back. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, why do you think they don't want to come back? I said, because right now they're in the hallelujah chorus around the throne. You, when you get in that, you won't, when you join that party, you won't want to come back to this one. Not at all.
I always look at that as that'll be like in heaven. And I always think to myself, how wonderful it'll be in heaven. There'll be no sin. All your thoughts will be pleasant and loving toward others, and everybody else's thoughts will be the same.
Yeah.
And there'll be no degradation of anything.
One of the things out of, you know, because I think we're getting a little off topic here, but that's okay, because that's all right. Out of the COVID time and all of that's happened in the last couple of years, I think that what I see is I see people, they're more suspicious. They're more worried if somebody's what somebody's motivations are. And one of the things that my son and I, we were in the car the other day, we were driving, and my son said to me, he says, you know what'll be interesting in heaven? And I said, what? He said, nobody'll be suspicious. Mm-hmm. Nobody'll be worried about what the other guy thinks. Nobody will be worried if the other guy's out to get you or if the other guy's out to talk bad about you or whatever, because everybody will be too busy going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I just wonder if that's a foretaste or a picture of how we should act here on earth. If I wonder what life would be like. I mean, we need to start with the Christians, because we just need to admit that as Christians, sometimes we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put them on all kinds of lesser things. It's not that those things are unimportant, but the most important thing is Jesus. What would life look like if, as Christians, we spent more time going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty? I think that then we would begin to look more like Paul talks about in Philippians when he says, if any of you have any encouragement in Christ, if any of you have experienced his love, if any of you have experienced his mercy or his grace, then be of one mind.
Jason, I'm going to close out. We have about 3 minutes left, but this last part of Philippians 4:19, meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. For that skeptic, that maybe unsaved person, somebody that has never entertained the idea to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe talk about those glorious riches that we can have in Jesus.
When Paul talks about that, he's talking about who Jesus is. And unfortunately, if we're honest, a lot of people who are skeptics and who are frustrated with who they think Jesus is, it's because they met the Jesus of the church. And they didn't meet the Jesus of the Bible. They met a Jesus who was filtered through a particular lens. And Jesus in the Bible is glorious because he is the living embodiment of all that God is. He is loving. He is compassionate. He is long-suffering. He is truthful. And sometimes that truth is hard, but it's what we need, not what we want. His mercy is great. And not only that, but he is sacrificial. He lays down his life in such a way that he offers us life through his sacrifice. And so I would say to the skeptic, the atheist, the person who might feel like they're far from God, number one, you're not that far from him because he's right here. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And number two is that I want to just gently ask you to meet the God who revealed himself in the Bible, who revealed himself in Jesus. Not the God who might have been warped by some particular religious tradition or something like that, but the God who made himself flesh during Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us. And I'd love to have a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can contact Mark, and if I'm busy, Mark will talk to you. But I'd love for you to meet that Jesus. The Jesus who in the Word came and he was made flesh. And why? So that we could touch him, so that we could feel his love, so that we could walk near him, so we could experience life with him. And then that life he gives for us so that we might have life everlasting.
And he made those claims, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Very God and yet very man. It's kind of a mystery, but he calls all of us to recognize that we're sinful, that we've fallen short, that we can't have a relationship with God outside of what he did on our behalf. And he freely welcomes all to come to know him, to recognize him as Lord and Savior. And when that happens, there becomes a change in your life, in your eternal life too. And he paid that price. He died for our sins. He shed his blood for us, for you. And as we recognize and receive that gift that God put into motion through the Lord Jesus Christ to come as our Savior, we can then have a relationship with him, and the scriptures come more alive, and we get to have greater meaning and purpose each and every day, even in this new year.
Yeah, I just want to say to the skeptic or the atheist or that person who might be far, we're all messy. And even Christians, and if you meet somebody who follows Jesus and they're not messy, that's just because they're trying to tuck their shirt in when it should be hanging out. We are all messy. And we're all in this process, in this journey of following Jesus together. And it's a real journey filled with real ups and real downs. But I just want to tell you this. It's better to follow Jesus together than to live far from him.
And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, Elmer and Gail Zules with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.